Hello, Redwood. Hello to those of you tuning in online. My name is Melissa. I'm the lead pastor here. I'd love to meet you after the service if we haven't met in person before. This past week, as I was preparing for this message, I came across this story about a guy named Roy. Roy went to a rock show. It wasn't a rock and roll show, literally a rock show. He was a rock collector, and he was looking for agates. Now, I hear that there used to be an agate mine in Thunder Bay. Joel, our family pastor, used to work there that had these huge agates that it would produce. But more often than not, agates are small rocks. They're very pretty when they're polished, but they're not worth a whole lot. So at the rock show that Roy was at, he was looking for agates, and they were being sold for about $15 a piece, when one that was about the size of a potato caught his eye. So he picked it up, brought it to the seller, and said, "What can you tell me about this one?" And the seller said, "Well, it's not really that beautiful, actually. So, I don't know, not worth that much." So Roy said, "I'll give you $10 for it." The seller says, "Great, take it off my hands." Well, Roy knew that this wasn't an agate. He brought it to a gemologist who appraised it as a $2.5 million 1,509 carat sapphire. So all of those people who are at that show were so busy single-mindedly searching for agates. And the seller at the show was so concerned with selling his agates that they all missed the priceless sapphire right in their midst. We are fully in this sermon series now, and he told them a story, and we've been looking at the stories that Jesus told all the time about what the kingdom of God was like, and what the people in the kingdom of God were like, and what the king, Jesus, is like. And he talked about all sorts of things using illustrations that people would have understood, that made sense to them in their time. And today, he tells a story about the value of the kingdom. And in particular, when people find the kingdom, like Roy finding that sapphire, they will do anything for the kingdom. So where we've been so far is where we're still going. We're in Matthew 13. We've been in Matthew 13 for 3 weeks now, and we've heard stories about seeds and yeast in bread and wheat and weeds. And today, Jesus is done telling the stories to the large crowds of people. He's now in a house with his closest followers, his disciples, and they ask him what these parables are all about anyway. And Jesus answers them, and then he tells them another story, which is our reading today. Matthew 13, 44 to 46. "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray before we go any further. Jesus, we thank you for your stories. We thank you for having them recorded in the Bible so that we could hear them today. And we know that your stories were to open people's eyes and their ears to the reality of the kingdom right before them in you. And so we pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you would open our eyes, unplug our ears, soften our hearts to receive what it is you have for us today. We pray that we would see you, Jesus, more fully. Amen. So if you've been a follower of Jesus for a long time, you've probably heard these stories. The story about the treasure in the field and the story of the pearl that was valueless. It was so valuable. Now, if you aren't a follower of Jesus, you probably can still figure out what these stories mean. It's pretty straightforward. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is so valuable that when we find it, we will do anything to be a part of it. But just like the other stories, we're in 2023, and so we miss a few of the things that Jesus was pointing out. We miss some of the nuance in the story. And so we're going to focus today on three questions that Jesus would have been subtly asking his followers as he told the story. And in particular, Number one, what are you seeking? Number two, what are you willing to give up? And number three, are you ready for the joy? Are you ready for the joy? So first of all, what are you seeking? I am notorious among the people who know me for losing my keys. Anybody else lose their keys on a regular basis? Nobody wants to admit it. Other people are outing their friends right now. So I was going to bring up my keys to just show them to you as a prop, but I forgot them. They're on my chair. I did it in the first service too. I lose my keys at work on a regular basis. On a pretty much weekly basis, I'm locked out of my office and I have to get Jay or Caitlin or Joel or Kim to come let me into my office. And my keys are usually on my desk, but sometimes they're missing for a couple of hours. I'm seeking them out everywhere. Last month during the Christmas Eve service, I was surprised when I saw my keys sitting on a table behind stage. So I grabbed them, I popped them in my pocket because I didn't want to lose them. And they were in my pocket for a couple of the services. And then when the services were all over, I ran into Caitlin, the kids and junior high pastor. And she was like, hey, have you seen my keys? And I thought, this is awesome. I am now not the one seeking the keys. It's Caitlin. I pulled the keys out of my pocket and said, no, I've got mine right here. I don't know where yours are. And she said, Melissa, those are my keys. I had scooped her keys up thinking they were mine. Mine were missing. Another time, at an old workplace, I was given a set of keys, and I had to actually sign a little contract saying if I had lost the keys with the fob on it, then I would have to pay for them. So I treated those keys very, very carefully. I knew where they were at all time. I always kept them in my back pocket. But one day, I went to use the staff washroom, and when I stood up, the keys popped out of my pocket at precisely the moment I was flushing the toilet. And before I could reach in and grab them, they swirled down the toilet, never to be seen again. I was so embarrassed, I just acted like it was a normal thing. I'd lost my keys again because I didn't want to tell anybody what really happened. It seems like I am always either hyper aware of where my keys are, I see them right there on the chair, or I'm seeking them out, always, without fail. We all have experienced seeking something, whether we're kids and it's hide and seek. I see some kids here. Do you like hide and seek? I like hide and seek. We still play hide and seek sometimes. Or whether you're an adult and you're seeking a home or you're seeking a mate or you're seeking a job. We also have experience seeking things that are a little bit harder to grasp and define, like happiness, seeking love, seeking security, seeking meaning. This theme of seeking has found its way into popular culture. Think about the 1983 Eurythmics hit that I'm going to read, not sing. Sweet dreams are made of this. Who am I to disagree? I travel the world and the seven seas. Everybody's looking for something. You're going to be singing that in your head, those of you the rest of the day who know that song. Or what about the 1987 U2 song? I have climbed highest mountains. I have run through the fields only to be with you, only to be with you. I have run, I have crawled, I have scaled these city walls, only to be with you. Now, maybe you're too young and you don't know those songs. So I threw another one in that's a little bit more recent. The song Shallow, sung by Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper, opens like this. Tell me something, girl. Are you happy in this modern world or do you need more? Is there something that you're searching for? What are you seeking? Or to put it another way, what do you devote most of your time and energy on? What are the deepest longings of your heart? What would you give anything to have or anything to do? In our story today, we see two different characters who are seeking something. And I want to focus on the second for just a moment. Verse 45 says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for, or seeking, which was the word in the original text, seeking fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Now, a merchant is somebody who is searching for products to turn around and sell, merchandise. In Jesus' time, the word merchant had negative connotations. A merchant was someone who was always looking for a deal. They're viewed as decadent and untrustworthy and would cross all sorts of lines to get the thing that is going to make them the most money. Oftentimes, merchants would elevate the value of their product and swindle people out of their hard-earned cash. So Jesus now is saying that the kingdom of God is like a merchant. This would have been a little bit provocative for those disciples hearing that, unless the disciples remembered that a merchant would do anything, would travel the world and the seven seas searching for a deal. A merchant is a seeker. But then Jesus says something about the merchant that is out of character. A merchant is seeking the pearls and then finds one pearl of great value. And the merchant doesn't try to get the best deal for that pearl. The merchant liquidates all his assets. He sells everything for the one pearl because he's finally found what he's looking for. All the other pearls pale in comparison. As I've been preparing for this sermon series, I read this book by Amy Jill Levine called Short Stories by Jesus, and she writes this: "We are continually seeking whether the object is fine pearls, a new job, another degree, spiritual fulfillment, but each time we find our goal, it turns out to be ephemeral. There's always a new necklace, a new career, a new form of study, a nagging sense that we've not done what we need to do. We flit from desire to desire, never permanently fulfilled, always somewhat discontent." So Jesus is telling us that the kingdom of God, and more specifically, Jesus the King, is what we're really seeking. Underneath all of the seeking, all of the searching, all of the looking, we're ultimately searching for something that only Jesus can provide. Jesus is saying, are you endlessly seeking money? Well, it won't satisfy you, won't give you meaning, it won't give you purpose, it won't give you what you think it's going to give you. Are you continually on a quest seeking love? Well, Jesus is saying, I am the only one who loves you unconditionally no matter what you've done, no matter who you are. Jesus is saying, are you on a quest for meaning and purpose? Well, in Jesus, we find our meaning and purpose. We know who we are in light of who the King is. Are you seeking to be known, valued, seen, loved, healed, restored? Are you seeking joy, peace, freedom? Whatever it is, Jesus is the only one that can give us what we most desire. Once we find Jesus, we're like the merchant. We're willing to give up everything for the treasure that we found. Which brings us to our last question, or our next question. What are you willing to give up? What are you willing to give up? This past week, I met with somebody in our Redwood community, and he was telling me about how in his earlier years, he was an alcoholic. And then he met Jesus when he was 35. He and his wife knew that in order to follow Jesus more fully, they were going to have to move from their home community because the temptation there was too great. They found the treasure they were looking for, and they were willing to give up their home community for a season because Jesus was so much better. It reminded me of when I first met Jesus too, when I really first met Jesus, when I was about 20. And I too spent most of my time partying with my friends. I also started attending a church, and the pastor of my church said, Melissa, if you stay here in this town, which was Kamloops, BC, it's only gonna be a matter of time before you walk away from Jesus because the temptation of your old lifestyle is too great. And so, just like the guy I met this week, I also packed up all my stuff and I moved to Calgary. I went to go to Bible college because I wanted to learn, who is this Jesus? And what does it look like to be a citizen of his kingdom? So if we go back to our story today, we remember that Jesus is talking to his disciples, his friends, the ones who have already given up so much to follow Jesus. They've left their jobs, their fishing, tax collecting. They've given up, some of them, their homes to follow Jesus. They've left their fields. Their families, for some of them, are still at home. And so when they hear Jesus say, the kingdom of God is like somebody who gives up all this stuff when they found me, this would be words of encouragement for them. This is something that's amazing. But it's also a word of warning to persevere. Because the going is going to get tough, and actually all of those people are going to fall away from Jesus before the end of Jesus' life, when following Jesus looks different than what they think it should be. So a little later on in the book of Matthew, when Jesus is near the end of his life, he meets a guy who is a rich young man. And this rich young man says to Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" In other words, what do I gotta do to get into heaven? And Jesus says, you have to follow all of the commands. And specifically, Jesus says, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. All these I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Now, Jesus isn't saying to every single one of us, if you want to follow me, you have to give up everything you have, all of your possessions, to come and follow me. He's saying this specifically to this man because he knows that this man's possessions are the things that he's really been seeking. His wealth has become the real treasure in his life, and there's no more room for Jesus. If this man was here today and Jesus was here today, and say this man's treasure was an addiction to watching things on his computer or TV that he shouldn't be watching, Jesus might say, give up your screens and follow me. If this guy was working at a place that had questionable work practices, or maybe he was a workaholic putting his job before Jesus, Jesus might say, give up your job and follow me. If he was involved in a relationship that was turning his eyes off of Jesus and it wasn't good for him or the other person, Jesus might say, give up that relationship and follow me. When Jesus' disciples heard all of this and they expressed to Jesus, this is too hard. This is impossible. Nobody could do this. Jesus says, well, yeah, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And why are all things possible? Because of the Holy Spirit within us. We're not doing this on our own. We are doing this empowered by Jesus' own presence. Jesus then tells his disciples about the real reward, the real treasure. He says, everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. Now again, Jesus is not saying that we have to leave our family to follow him, but if our families are standing in the way of us following Jesus, Jesus is saying, choose me. Choose me, I am the treasure. Eternal life, this is the treasure. Receiving 100 times as much, this is the treasure. And it's not just eternal life, it's now. Now, is Jesus saying that if I sell my house, I'm going to become a millionaire? No, he's not saying that. He's talking about the real treasure that counts, something that is far better. Let's go back to the parable of the merchant and the pearl for a second, just to hone in on this point for a sec. So I'm wearing pearls today. I have my grandma's pearl earrings and a bracelet, and I have a ring with a pearl in it that I got when I was 16. This is unusual in Jesus' time. If I was living in Jesus' time, I would not have this jewelry because I'm just an average person. And normal, average, common people would not own pearls. They were so valuable. In fact, we probably never would have even seen a pearl. Pearls were so valuable. I heard this story. It was actually in Amy Jolivine's book. She says, Cleopatra reportedly bet her lover, Mark Anthony, that she could eat $1 million worth of food in one banquet. And so what she did is, in the dessert course, she had a bowl of vinegar set before her. She took off one of her pearl earrings, she put it in the bowl of vinegar, it dissolved, and she swallowed the sediment. She ate $1 million. Jesus is saying that when we give up our old lives to enter into the kingdom of God, we do it because we recognize the value. It's beyond measure. We can't believe our luck. The things that we were seeking before pale in comparison to Jesus and his kingdom and what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. It's the things that we saw in the video of the people describing the Holy Spirit encounter. Healing, renewal, transformation, bringing about things that we never ever thought were possible. Remember, with God, anything is possible, including joy. For some of us here today, it might not seem possible that we could feel joy. But Jesus says, with God, anything is possible. So, are you ready for some joy? Here is what joy is not. Joy is not fleeting happiness tied to a circumstance. If things are going well in my life, I'm happy. If things are going bad in my life, I'm not happy. When we're seeking things other than Jesus, our happiness becomes tied up in that. I'm happy for a moment, but the happiness doesn't really last. The pastor and theologian John Piper says this: joy is a good feeling in the soul, produced by the Holy Spirit as he causes us to see the beauty of Christ in the Word and in the world. Joy surpasses happiness because joy is not tied to the circumstances around us. Joy is dependent on God, and God never changes. Last week, we talked about how we can see the signs of the kingdom all around us. When we are continually seeking Jesus and seeking first his kingdom, we can't help but feel a little joy when we find it. And this joy is a small measure for the joy that we will experience in the new heaven and the new earth. The same guy that I connected with earlier in the week, who told me about leaving his home community because the temptation there was too great, told me about how the more he got to know Jesus, the more he discovered his identity in Christ. Jesus invited him to worship through dance and through music. And he told me the joy of gathering with other First Nations Christians as they all danced for the Lord. He and I talked about how in the Bible, in the new heaven and the new earth, we're told that all the kings of the nations will come and bring their wealth before the Lord. And traditionally, we think of this, or commentators think of this, as everybody bringing the richness of their culture fully redeemed by Jesus and laying it at Jesus' feet. And we also read that every nation, every tribe, every tongue will be in the throne room of God worshiping him. So you know what this means? We're going to see white people dancing in heaven. I was talking to James earlier today, and I was saying, James, what is a Nigerian expression of worship that we're going to see in heaven? He's like, oh, yes, there's going to be singing, and there's going to be dancing. And guess what? There's going to be First Nations singing and dancing, too. I can't think of a much more joyful response when we encounter Jesus than singing and dancing. Here's a couple other expressions of joy that I noticed this past week as I was looking for it. It's been a very joyful week. Last week, if you were here, we got to see Kevin Dang's baptism. It was in the first service, and then we showed the video in the second service. If you saw that, you saw Kevin describe his life before Jesus, all of the seeking for things that couldn't fulfill him and where it led him. And then he meets Jesus, the real treasure. And he gives up his old life and he turns to Jesus and he is transformed. And if you saw him, especially in person, the joy in his face was unmistakable. I chatted with him after the service. He was just radiating joy. Here's one more example of joy. Every single week when we come together here in this service, on the other side of the building, the Redwood kids are gathering. If you want to experience joy, go hang out with some kids. Every single week, there are people from our community who give up their time. They're giving something up to go and serve those kids. And Caitlin, our kids and junior high pastor, tells me that after the service, everybody's always gathering together. And they're laughing with joy over the amazing thing that the kids are doing. And this makes sense because Jesus himself said, if you want to enter into the kingdom of God, you've got to become like these kids, full of joy and wonder at meeting Jesus. So this brings me back to those three questions. Number one, what are you seeking? Is it Jesus? Is it something else? Is it possible that that something else that you've been seeking underneath is a quest for something that only Jesus can provide? Number two, what are you willing to give up? Jesus says, seek and you will find. If you are seeking Jesus, you will find him. And once you find him, are you willing to give up the things that lead you away from him to fully turn to him and embrace everything that Jesus brings? And if the answer is yes, then are you ready for the joy? Even if it feels impossible to feel joy now, Jesus says with God, all things are possible. The joy is coming. So in a moment, we're going to respond with some singing, and we're going to sing about this joy found in the kingdom. But before we do, would you join me in prayer? Let's just ask Jesus for that joy. Jesus, we are seeking you. I mean, we're sitting in church, so we're seeking you. We're here. We're tuning in online. We're seeking you. And you tell us, Jesus, that if we seek, we will find. If we seek you, we will find you. If we seek first your kingdom, you will reveal yourself to us. And so, Jesus, reveal yourself to us. We are looking for you. And you also say that with you, anything is possible. And so would you fill us with your Holy Spirit that we could turn away from the things that are leading us away from you, the other things we've been searching for, so we could fully turn to you. And as we do, Jesus, we pray for joy. Fill us with joy. Joy in our individual lives, joy in our community. Let your joy be evident to all. And as we prayed last week, we pray, come, Lord Jesus, fill this space, establish your kingdom here and now on earth as it is in heaven. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.